from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Yeah. All right, we are halfway home on a Thursday. Bet and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Our audience is incredible. I did get it confirmed with Adam Jones that it was Gavin Floyd is the one that dotted him in the bat.
6'4", 245 out of Maryland, Annapolis, Maryland.
Yeah.
So he had the details, just didn't have the name.
And then one of our Friar Jared just found the Adam Jones
need to look this up.
Getting hit by Yu Darvish in the lips. And yeah, it's a pretty gnarly video.
Wow.
But yeah, so everything's confirmed, and now all your questions have been answered here on Ben and Woods this morning. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Ben Higgins is your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. And we went down yesterday, Paulie and I. So the move is you go down to the ballpark, you walk in the clubhouse first because there's limited availability and time, and then you walk up to the broadcast section and you say hi to all of our friends up there. And we had a chance as I turned the corner. I was going to go back and say hi to Jesse and Tony. Mud Grant walks right. Hey, Woodsy, what's up? Hey, Mud, how are you? Big hugs. And Paulie walks. Hey, Paulie, how you doing? So we start shooting the breeze. And I've told the story about Mud. I've also had it confirmed by Don Orsillo, Jesse Agler, Bob Scanlon. Every single human that's come in contact with Mark Grant, the great Mark Grant, is that his favorite thing in the world to do is once he gets you, he won't let you go. He's got to show you something on his phone. We've done the coach's dinner with Mud out at P.F. Chang's or something out of Peoria for fantasy camp. I mean, the whole dinner. Hey, hang on. Gotta check this out. This scene from...
He'll make a reference.
The scene from Fletch, right? And he holds up his phone.
You don't know what I'm talking about? Hang on. One second.
So I told him. I said, Mud and I are very similar interests. Very similar. And so when he does, it's all ball bearings now. All the bits that he does, I get about 95% of them. But there's some that go
Don
over my
doesn't
head.
Get a lot of Mud sometimes.
I don't know if he... I can never figure out if he gets them.
And just ignores them. Which I do with you sometimes.
Correct.
Yeah.
And some of them you don't know.
But some I don't get.
So. I had one yesterday. Somebody DM'd me about it. I said, go home and get your shine box. We were talking about getting shoe shine, and it just went right over your head. You have no idea what that is, do you?
I said it was the box where you keep your shoe shining equipment.
Right. No, it's from Goodfellas. Have you seen Goodfellas?
I think I saw
I quit.
It, but
I
a long time
quit.
Ago.
I'm
yeah.
quitting. I
you and Joe Pesci,
this.
You know. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't think
I've
you can
it.
Say I think I saw
it. I think
like,
I saw Goodfellas.
Yeah.
I think you would know that.
I haven't watched it multiple times.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm not I don't love mob movies. I was trying my son and I were trying to watch Casino the other day and I've seen it once and we're trying to watch
to
it again.
Watch Casino.
Got about an hour
to
in.
Suffer
but
through
just finish it. Yeah.
Rotting through Casino. I gotta find a new partner. This is one of the worst days of my life.
Sorry.
Hearing this.
You really would be happy with Mud.
We are the same age.
You
would be too much. It would be too much.
Well, that's what works with us.
It would be too extra. Me and Mud would be way too extra. But so he corners me and he has some Slapshot reference. Now, I saw Slapshot when I was a kid and maybe watched it one time since, but it did not resonate.
He mentioned a song from it. Slap Shakers. You know why I mentioned that song, right?
I go, no. Slapshot? Slapshot. I go, ah.
Paul Newman?
And then the phone comes out, and so he's showing me on his phone. Paulie's going to put the picture in the chat. And there he is. There's Mudley showing it to me.
I've got like 5 other photos of that exact moment happening.
He's the GOAT.
My
There's
favorite
no
part was, I wish I would have waited maybe 2 more seconds before I took the picture, because in the background of the picture, if you're watching on YouTube, on our stream here, you can see an open door. That is the television broadcast where Don and Mud sit. And just to the right of that is Jesse Agler and Tony Gwynn Jr.'s booth. And about 2 seconds after this picture was taken, I saw a head pop around the corner and a cell phone. And Jesse Agler was doing the exact same thing, taking a picture. And he goes, I could hear it happening down the hall.
Yep.
And I thought, I have to get a picture of this like happening in the wild.
Yeah, it happens on the plane, on the bus, anytime that they're together. You know, Jesse has said, At this point, I kind of actively avoid Mud because I don't want to get, hey, remember this from Weird Science when we were kids? And Jesse's like, yes, I remember Chet from Weird Science. Yes, I know the whole thing.
Now that movie I've seen about 15 times.
I bet you have, you little pervert. I also watched it a lot when I was a kid, okay? And I know why you did. Absolute pervert you are.
Because they were nerds, and I was a nerd.
Well, there's many, many other reasons. Kelly LeBrock being number one. How did she marry Steven Seagal? Just as an aside.
She just appreciates great musical talent.
And great martial artistry. Steven Seagal got her. Gentlemen, man. God, it makes no sense to me. But Mud is just, he's the best. David just said, Mud comes by my shop, and I can confirm he does do this. Yeah, I mean, it's very, very well known. He's in the Siri. Hey, Siri, bring up Paul Newman. What was the song? I can't even remember the song now. But he brings that up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, cool. Suffer through it. But it also feeds into another Throwback Thursday we had today, coincidentally.
Yeah, this was 2 years ago, and I don't remember exactly why. I think we were scheduled to have Mud on just to catch up with Mud, and he texted me. He goes, hey, I'm on the road right now. You want me to just pop by the studio? I said, yes.
Absolutely.
Come on in. And so he came by, and let's see, where was it here? Let me pull it up. He came in, and we were doing the Rhino Report, and I guess I had a story about a new musical or something coming out, and Mud just took over, and here's what happened.
By the way, Grease, probably one of the better musicals ever written.
Yeah.
And just a great story, great songs.
God, I hate musicals, except for that
one. Do you really?
Yeah,
I really do. By the way, speaking of musicals, and I'll end on this, I watched La La Land about a week ago.
Good one.
So good.
Very good movie.
So good.
We're here. We're there. We're everywhere. I can't do it. Don't sing your dialogue.
And when I leave here and drive back to Alpine, I'm going to stop on the ramp and just get out of my car and just get a hook.
It's a beautiful day.
God. You know, you could sing the baseball game tonight.
Love it. I dare you to bust out some sing-song tonight.
Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the plain and the waving wheat can sure smell sweet when the wind comes right behind the rain. Oklahoma, every night my honey lamb and I sit alone and talk and watch a hawk making lazy circles in the sky.
It's unreal, man. It's unreal.
He's unbelievable. Man can carry a tune, too.
Good night, everybody.
What are we doing? We're never going to top that.
We have Mud singing Oklahoma show tunes in studio.
He is
pretty
just
much. We should retire.
You're doing fine, Oklahoma, 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 Oklahoma.
Wow. Those pipes for tonight.
Summer loving had me a blast. Summer loving happened so fast. I met a girl crazy for me.
I met a boy cute as can be.
Tell me more.
Did you get very far?
I forgot how long this one dragged on. Holy crap. That is unbelievable.
Now, the only thing that missed was he did not pull up Grease
on his phone and
show us them singing the song. But God, I love that man.
You just wonder then, how much does Don actually rein him in? I mean, that's him coming in and sitting down with us. Don's got to be like, hey, I need you to chill out. All right? Do less. Tell my wife sometimes, hey, do less. Please do less. Because when she talks to other people, she gets real like boisterous and loud. And goes, hey, just do a little less. I bet she does it. I bet he does it to Mud all the time. Do less.
Maybe there's Mudley, hands, you're at a level 10. Yeah, I'm going to need you to bring it down to like a level 4.
Old, yeah, the old tamp it down.
Tamp it down, big fella. Here we go.
That's a great throwback, though. Great throwback to an excellent person. I think we should probably take this opportunity now. I did not see Don Orsillo yesterday. He was in the studio and just kind of had his head down and working. And we all saw the tweet after the game last night where he had announced that his mother had passed away. The great Don Orsillo's mom passed away yesterday. And I had no idea. No, you know, nobody mentioned it to us. You know, I listened to the broadcast. He just got through it yesterday, so I wanted to wish Don Orsillo, you know, give him our condolences and our love, because we love him. I know everybody out in the audience loves him as well, and whatever he's going through with his family right now. Got to be a tough one for Donnie. So, Donnie, we love you. Appreciate you very much. And, you know, our thoughts are out to you and your family.
Marianne Orsillo, yeah. So tough, especially, you know, Don, busy with the season. And sure. Don't know all the circumstances, but whatever it is. Obviously, he was close with his mom.
Oh, yeah.
That's a tough one for Don.
We love you, Don.
We're thinking about you. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, we've got Eno Saris coming up at the bottom of the hour. Again, one of those tough, awkward transitions that you've thrown
at me. I like to throw them
at
you guys, and then I just kind of sit back.
Just kind of.
Don, we're sorry about your mom, but Eno Saris is coming on here.
We were going to talk about the other passing that we had yesterday.
Oh, yes. There was another.
There you go.
Yeah. And I didn't feel right about doing, you know, shout out for Don. I don't want to.
No, I was like, please don't ask me because I'm not going to.
There's certain, you know, some you do and some you don't.
But we do have a shout out.
We do have a shout out to his family today. Yeah.
And it goes to.
And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult.
Wallace.
So, shout out to his family.
Amos Jr. Wally Amos, better known as Famous Amos, the founder of the Famous Amos Cookie Company, passed away at the age of 88 yesterday. Now, Famous Amos, I didn't really know anything about his story. Of, you know, who fame, or even if he was a real person or just some sort of marketing creation. But the native of Tallahassee, Florida, opened his first cookie shop in Hollywood, California in 1975. The brand exploded in popularity over the years. And eventually, he sold it, like, to the big companies and moved out of the business. And it became, of course, you know, the thing you find at 7-Elevens and convenience stores, and it's packaging everywhere. But he actually did start of it, a mom-and-pop shop for Famous Amos.
I'm going to say this. I bet that his shop on Sunset Boulevard, I bet those cookies were fantastic. You get the sense that, you know, we all grew up, Betty. What was the place we went?
Mrs. Fields.
Mrs. Fields.
At the mall?
At the mall.
You know, I would beg my mom, please, can we go to Mrs. Fields and get one of those warm
chocolate chip
cookies?
Yeah, it was a bag. Sometimes you get the bag of the little ones.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, you just could plow through those. But I bet you they were similar to that. Now, I will say this. Whenever he sold his business, and whoever bought it, turned it into Famous Amos. If you have a bag of Famous Amos cookies, it's, I don't want to be insensitive here, it's Maybe the worst cookie out there, potentially. Chips Ahoy.
They're not good.
Chips Ahoy / Famous Amos.
The juice isn't worth the squeeze.
There's no juice in those because they taste like little discs of wheat or like flour or. There's no juice in
them. The chocolate doesn't even taste like
it does
chocolate, really.
It really doesn't.
It's like stale little chocolate chips.
What do they do
to
it?
You just bite into it. It's just like powder.
It's a. What'd you do to it? I've got a sweet tooth like a madman, if you couldn't tell. It's so the last bottom of the barrel. It's like if it's there, I'm like, how bad do I want it? Like, am I going to go into grab, like, is it worth it? Is it worth it for me to satisfy my sweet tooth? Doesn't even really satisfy it. The Famous Amos cookie. Because
like,
I think.
Do you have anything else?
I think we have them. In our
vending machine
here, yeah. And nobody buys them.
Always in stock.
Always in stock.
He says there's more moisture in drywall. Those cookies.
So true. Now here's an interesting fact I did not know. Your wife Megan's in the chat. And she said Mrs. Fields was my first job. You couldn't have put that. It would be. I'd be so high on my own supply, dude.
You are not allowed to sample any of the product.
Well,
you just have to sit here all day, sell the cookies, and you don't get to eat a single one of them.
I quit. It would be two for you, one for me. Two for you, one for me. All day. I would. They would find me on camera like.
Those quality things, control.
Quality control. Buddy, since we hired you, we actually lost $75,000 this month. I don't know what happened, man. I love those things so much. So, shout out to Famous Amos. Shout out to his family. We'll do it again. Why not?
Shout out to his family.
There you go.
I'll tell you right now, an underrated cookie, very underrated cookie, is the two-pack in a little bag that you can buy at the counter at 7-Eleven.
Do they make them, like, fresh in store?
Thank me later if you haven't had them.
They're elite.
They are the perfect, like, consistency, the chewiness. Outstanding.
I've always been afraid of the baked goods, of the rolled goods, the roller things at 7-Eleven, the hot dogs. I'm afraid of all of that. I just don't know where it's been.
I love the egg salad sandwich. I'm joking.
Sushi.
The sushi there is fantastic. No, Paulie, the cookies and the... I'll do you one better. The brownie there.
I haven't had the brownie.
It's maybe the most elite brownie you can get.
They got the two-pack. I get the two-pack of the oatmeal raisin cookies.
They're so chewy.
Cents.
Yeah.
They're perfect. Perfect.
All right. If they have some Famous Amos in the vending machine, I'll bring some in and we'll all have one in his honor.
In his honor?
Today. Yeah, I'll go check. I'm pretty sure that. Now, we did just get a new vending machine. Like,
it may not have
like
the same stuff
ago,
in
so
there.
We'll see.
Will we be able to talk after we chew our way through those cookies is the problem. Coming forward, because we do have to reset. We've got Eno Saris. Why did I keep doing that? Eno Saris coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Maybe your 14 cocktails are catching up to you
perhaps,
right now at 8:15.
Perhaps. And then a round of report coming up. And then the roundtable at 10 o'clock this morning. All ahead, Ben and Woods. Quick check of traffic, and then back with more here on 97.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at CDC.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Unfortunately, there are no Famous Amos. Or, I guess, fortunately, there's no famous Amos cookies.
Chips Ahoy.
There's, yeah.
I mean, those do qualify as a very dry cookie. But they're kind of, I feel like they're supposed to be that way, so it doesn't bother me as much.
I sure do love a moist cookie. Moist, is that the right word?
Yeah.
For a cookie?
Well,
or is that for cake?
Cake, probably more is what you're going for, a nice moist cake.
Yeah, but moist cake.
Bundt cake.
Bundt cakes are delicious, but the I don't like a crispy cookie, unless it's very thin.
Even then, I'd prefer the
softer, soft ones. Yeah. If your wife goes and makes Nestle's Toll House, just cuts up the deal, puts them on the pan, throws them in the oven, what's your go-to? What are you grabbing? As soon as it's out, hey, cookies are ready. It happens like once a year in my home. What is your first, how many do you grab off the
three.
Jump street?
Three.
Okay, I'm a four.
Three. Now, three is the right number.
And I make like a...
How did you gain all the weight?
Well, I eat four at a time.
You say to yourself, I'm just going to have two.
And then you have one
and
extra.
Then you have the third one, invariably.
Because you can't eat one. One's not even worth it.
One's not going to happen.
One, to me, is like having one beer. That's, for me, it's like, what am I going to go have one? I like you, and we can just talk on the phone. I'm not going to meet you for a beer.
You want to talk like yearly tradition kryptonite? My wife makes they're small. They're like the size of like a... A little bigger than a quarter. They're
yeah.
peanut butter cookies with the Hershey's Kiss
on
pressed
top.
In.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember what they're
yeah.
called. Bro, they're
thumbprint.
So, yeah.
Thumbprint.
Yeah. Bro, I'll eat eight of them at a time.
In a sitting.
They're so good.
But I standard, every time I go one, two, three, four, and I pop them in. Now, they're this big. I mean, they're the size of a
they're
silver
as big as you
dollar.
Want to make
yeah,
them.
Yeah, it's true. But
yeah.
the way she makes them, they're small. That's my justification. Well, I mean, I'll eat four of them because they're small.
Had they been bigger, I would have only had one or two.
That's one of life's greatest pleasures, is it not? The cookies fresh out of the oven. It's one of life's best things. Period. The end. You walk in, you go, what the? You're making cookies? Yeah. 3 minutes. You're like, oh, my God. It's one of life's greatest pleasures.
It's Ben Woods on San Diego's number one dessert station, 97.3 The Fan.
Fine by me.
People get mad if we stop talking about desserts, so we try to stick to the dessert talk.
Yeah.
Occasionally, we'll get off topic and discuss the Padres and baseball and sports, but for the most part, it's really cookies and cakes and pies. Oh, you should see our pie segment is legendary.
It is. Breads.
Every single week. Yeah, breads. You don't all have to be sweet goods. Any baked goods, really, we can discuss on the program.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, red velvet, overrated, Melomel says. I agree. I will skip the red velvet. Today is National Lemon Meringue Pie Day.
Overrated.
Which,
as well.
Really?
Yeah. I don't like the
little foamy top, the meringue top.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
No.
I'm out.
No meringue.
Huh. Wow. Polarizing topics Very today on dessert radio.
Yeah.
No meringue.
No red velvet.
Famous Amos, dead and gone.
Red velvet is for perverts. If you like red velvet, you are inherently a pervert.
It's just chocolate.
Let me ask. Ben, do you like red velvet?
I don't.
Oh, actually. That surprised me because you are a giant pervert.
Well, you know what makes it red? Well, mostly food coloring, but beets. They put beets in it to make it red.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Kind of lost me there on the beets because I don't like beets.
I don't like the flavor. I just feel it's very pervy if you like red velvet. It's just very, like...
It's very popular now.
It is. It's just...
Just give me a good old apple pie.
Yeah, apple pie's delicious.
All right.
Eno Saris.
You know who's
coming up next?
It's been surprisingly productive for your San Diego Padres this year.
Who's that?
Tyler Wade.
Yes, dude. Somebody posted his record.
17-12 when Tyler Wade starts, which doesn't sound crazy, but if you...
Oh, no, they posted the record of when he appears in a game.
Just in a
and
game?
It was like, oh. It was like 47-20
or
something.
Well, even when he starts, they play well above .500. That doesn't sound like much, but that's over 30 games. So the Padres have played four 30-game stretches. So they're actually a 20-games over .500 team at this point with Tyler Wade, which is better than they are right now. They've been a better team with Tyler Wade starting than they have the rest of the games without him starting. Doesn't make a ton of sense, but he does always seem to do something when he's in there.
Had a couple of knocks yesterday. Yeah. I mean, look, there's a Tyler Wade on every single championship team. Every single championship team has a guy like that. They really do. You know, look back at the Texas Rangers last year. Maybe it was Travis Jankowski, you know, Freddie.
Austin Hedges.
Austin Hedges, right? Who didn't really do much, but he was there, you know, being the glue guy or whatever. But he has been a real kind of fine.
When, like, yesterday he's filling in for a Gold Glover at short in Ha-Sung Kim, looks solid defensively. He's got a good arm. I mean, he gets that throw over there pretty well. Given that he can't get that many reps, obviously, I'm always pleasantly surprised by what they've gotten out of Tyler Wade this year. And, you know, they used him a lot the first month when there was the injuries and Manny. And they kind of was the forgotten guy for a while because they picked up Solano and Peralta. And they have plenty of those, you know, the 10th man guys. So he went a long time without playing much. But he's still, when they need him, he's there. Plug him right in. Pinch run him. Whatever they need. Give him some hustle. Give him some defense. Get a hit here or there. A lot of them work like infield singles that he beats out with his leg. But those count just the same. I mean, he's been a good player for the Padres this year.
Really has, and definitely fits in the culture, and you know, definitely is loved by the guys. You can see it. I mean, he's a part of the team. Bryce Johnson's probably the least productive Padres player this year, but even then, he's had his moments of being productive. So it's been a pretty special group to watch.
Yeah,
man. And
the all 26, everyone's got to contribute, which is,
it's no joke.
But for the most part, talking about it, it's not really all 26. You're hoping like 21 out of the 26 are doing something for your team, and you're just calling it everyone's contributing.
This case?
With this team, it almost really is the all 26 mentality for the San Diego Padres this year. And honestly, it's been more like 34 or 35 because there's been relievers that are here and, you know, like Gillespie, who've come up and thrown some innings and aren't really part of the team necessarily, but have played a pivotal role even beyond those 26 men on the roster this year for the Padres.
Yeah, big fan, man. I honestly, when they signed Tyler Wade, it was one of those guys, I go, he's not going to be here in 3 weeks, so I'm not going to get super upset about it. Dude, but I did say he is the kind of guy that you'll look up and be like, he's still here. He found his way into another big league clubhouse, and he's really, now he's contributing and really seems to have found a home.
Sticking around.
You gotta tip your hat to that.
All right. Eno Saris will join us coming up next for some smart baseball on Ben Woods, San Diego's number one dessert station, 97.3 The Fan. Well, it's getting serious now. We told you earlier, San Diego Padres Fangraphs, over 95% chance to make the postseason. Well, it happens when you win 19 out of 22 games. Good things. And we will talk with Eno Saris from The Athletic about the Padres' run and what's ahead here coming up right after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Well, I think I got a tough one for Eno right off the bat here today. Because as the Padres and Diamondbacks have surged, and teams like the Phillies and Yankees and Orioles have not kept up the pace they did earlier in this season. You look at the top of the just overall standings in baseball, and you've got now 8 or 9 teams all within like 2 or 3 games of each other. So, Eno, as we welcome you on this morning, who's the favorite now in your mind to win the World Series? If you had to pick one team as your favorite to win the World Series, who would it be at this point?
Oh, that's a good one.
I told you it'd be tough.
Because the reason it's tough, I think, is because the Guardians are playing in the maybe the weakest or second weakest division in baseball. And even though fewer divisional rivals than they used to, it's still a lot. It's still most of what you play. So I think beating up on the White Sox has helped them. They, you know, their pitching rotation is the worst among playoff contenders. And so you've got the Brewers with a similar situation, maybe. So I think the real contenders are the Phillies, Yankees, Orioles, and, you know, the Astros are looking that way, and then maybe somebody coming out of the West. The Yankees are up and down. I don't know if I trust the rotation. The Orioles have lost, you know, Grayson Rodriguez, and so they're down to, like, sort of one great starting pitcher. I don't know about that Astros lineup. So I guess I'm going to take the Phillies.
Phillies.
But
second worst record in baseball since the All-Star break.
Shut up.
with But with plenty of games to go.
Yeah.
Plenty of games to go. We talked about it yesterday. You know, some numbers came out about, you know, clutch hitters, and there was a piece. Somebody put out some stats about, you know, who's been the most clutch in late innings and things like that. Jerickson Profar was at the top of the list. Jackson Merrill was up there as well. Bryce Harper was not on the list, but doesn't matter to me. I'm still trying to pitch around Bryce Harper when it gets to October. I think when you look at them and how they've kind of skidded a little bit, what are you seeing out of the Phillies that I know you just picked them to win the World Series, but they have been in a pretty gnarly skid.
Yeah, and I think my point was that, you know, it's impossible to really name a favorite right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get it. I get it. And I think part is, like, you know, the one I didn't get to is that, you know, if I would pick the Dodgers if, you know, I was just looking at full strength lineups and some of the full season numbers, but they've also been bad recently. I don't know. They're not as bad as the Phillies, I guess, but around 500. So, you know, if the Padres come out of the West, they can join that list of contenders very easily. What I see with the Phillies is Ranger Suarez coming back to earth. You know, some of their young pitching coming back to earth, some problems, a little bit of problems in the bullpen. And then just some of the natural up and down. I think Brandon Marsh has taken a little step back recently. You know, I was trying to sort of zoom out and be like, what do I think of these teams without sort of really diving into the numbers? And what I see is a really credible, you know, 1-2 in Wheeler and Nola, with enough pitching depth behind them to survive any series that goes long. I see, you know, clutch, you know, established major league hitters in the middle of the lineup. I don't really see problems at the bottom of the lineup. The Dodgers recently have had a really poor bottom of the lineup, but I also see them, when they get back to full strength, pushing, you know, more and more of those players out. And at some point, the worst two hitters in their lineup will be, like, you know, Miguel Rojas and Tommy Edman or something. But the Padres lineup, you know, has the same thing. Once Tatis comes back, there's very few holes in that roster in terms of, you know, what the lineup looks like. You know, I don't know exactly how they'll slot, but Cease is a 1-1, I think, at this point.
Yep.
So they can bang with anybody at the top, and they have pitching depth depending on what happens with Yu Darvish. I do think that matters a little bit. And they have maybe the best, or, you know, second best, I don't know, definitely a top three bullpen, you know, with the way it's going. So, you know, they can bang with anybody, and I would take them easily over the Astros and Guardians and Brewers, and put them in the class with, like, the Phillies and a full-strength Dodgers and the Yankees and Orioles. I mean, those are the best teams in baseball.
Talking to our pal Eno Saris from The Athletic here on Ben and Woods this morning. I don't want to steal your question, Benny, but you brought this up earlier in the show. We talked about what the Texas Rangers potentially could be doing in the next couple of days and shedding some salary, Eno, and which would mean some pretty good arms would potentially be available right now.
You literally stole my question.
I did, but
you actually jumped in to steal my question.
But you said you were going to lead off with that, and then yeah, you went with the old "Who's going to win the World Series?" So
all I care is that it gets asked.
You got to adapt a little bit, Eno. But I mean, I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine Nate Eovaldi being out there, right? And, you know, I'm sure there's 7-8 teams are going to put in a claim on Nathan Eovaldi. But there's some, besides the Rangers, have you heard anything about that? And have you heard about some other teams that may be looking to do this? And could the Padres benefit?
Yeah, the trick with Eovaldi is that he could get pretty close to vesting his option, and his vested option is $20 million for next year. So if you're taking on Eovaldi, you're not only taking on a couple of million dollars at the end of the season, you're potentially taking on the $20 million next year's season. So that will actually limit the number of suitors, I believe. Somebody has to be able to find that room in their budget for next year.
It's $20 million for next season. Is that a terrible number for Nathan Eovaldi?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Not at all. I mean, worst case scenario, he's like a 2-3 instead of, you know, not a 1-2. But he's an established postseason guy who can give you 150 innings. I mean, I think $20 million is actually sort of the going rate. I know some people are like, whoa, that seems like a lot. But no, it's the going rate. So, you know, so just to put the names out there, Max Scherzer's a little bit hurt right now. But if he, you know, gets back off of the mat and feels good, he could be on there. Nathan Eovaldi, Andrew Haney, Kirby Yates, their closer. You know, those are probably the most exciting names. One thing that they'll have to do internally, I think, is, and actually David Robertson as well, is probably ask those players what they want to do, because I don't think that you want to create the idea around baseball that you are the Angels.
You know what I mean? Like, or do you care though, since you won? The weird thing is they were, you know, they decided to take this look at the team now with the current record. And I think you have to give the World Series champs a chance, right, at the break. Instead of, now, had they done this at the break, sure, they could have gotten a lot more back for these guys other than just salary relief. You know, they could have gotten prospects back for the future, but they didn't. They didn't. They decided to go for it. It hasn't worked out. I don't know, man. Like, do you think they care, since they won the World Series last year? It's a little bit easier to stomach. Yeah.
I just think that, like, they want to sign free agents in the future, and so they don't want to create this sort of aura around baseball, like, that, you know, you could be Max Scherzer and they'll cut you for $1 million.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's true.
So I would just go to these players, and I think most of the players would probably say, yeah, sure, you know, I could jump on with someone, maybe pitch in meaningful games, you know. So I do think that some of the players would take them up on it and for the chance to compete on another team. But you just don't want to cut people that are like, I know, I don't want to unroot my family. And, like, Eovaldi might be like, hey, I want to be on the Rangers next year.
Yeah,
so,
good point.
You know, so there's – I would want to check with them. But, yeah, I think that's and for the Padres, it is interesting. You know, there will be teams like the Reds and Cardinals who have worse records that could jump in. But the Cardinals at the trade deadline were super skinflint. Like, they turned Tommy Edmonds, $8 million, into another $8 million. You know, like, they had no money to spend at the trade deadline. So I don't think the Cardinals are jumping in. The Reds don't have a big payroll. So you'd be looking at sort of bigger payroll teams that would try to block the Padres. So maybe the Giants could be an obstacle. You know, I think, you know, I think the way it goes is it goes to the AL first.
AL first,
so,
yep.
Yeah, so I guess somebody's the Mariners grabbing him, could jump in. But yeah, the Mariners don't spend much money, you know.
They don't.
So, you know, so there's a lot of, like, cheaper teams over there. And, you know, the Padres would get a chance before the Orioles or Yankees or anything, where they would have the payroll to do it. So I think. I don't think it goes all the way through the AL. Does it go all the way through the AL?
I think it's AL, then NL, right?
Yeah, okay. I should know these rules.
So should we.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, for the Yankees and Orioles, the question also is this player better than the player on our roster?
Right.
They have pretty good rosters.
Ben, so, you're a skinflint,
you know,
by the way. That's a great word.
Find a
Colonel Budger
making it through to the NL.
So talking to,
they may be get a chance for Robertson or Yates if they want to, you know, the back of the bullpen.
Talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic, and this is our smart baseball segment, and I need someone smart to explain this because I don't get it. the Arizona Diamondbacks. I didn't really get the World Series run last year. I don't really get the run they're on right now. I mean, even with the injuries, they're 14-2 since Christian Walker got hurt. They're 9-1 since Gabriel Moreno got hurt. They're now 3-0 since Ketel Marte got hurt. What are they doing? Who are they doing? What are they doing? Why is it working so well for them? I mean, I know they're not a bad team, but they're not this good, right?
Yeah, they're so weird. One thing that's interesting is that they have one of the lowest whiff rates high in the zone and one of the highest slugging percentage high in the zone. So at a time when baseball is kind of like, you know, we're going to throw the high four seam or whatever, the Diamondbacks are, you know, just feasting on that. On top of that, I think that they're very good at the sort of role player thing. Jock Peterson there has quietly been 58% better than league average this year. And he doesn't play all the time because he never plays against lefties, but against righties, to have a guy that's good in the lineup. Ketel Marte is, you know, somewhere in the top five for the MVP this year. So, you know, and then Corbin Carroll, you know, hasn't had a great year overall, but is slugging 500 in the last month. So, you know, he's figured something out. And they're also just, like, really solid everywhere in terms of defense. And I don't like the rotation other than Zach Gallen. So it surprises me that they're you know, they're doing so well in the last 30 days. It's like top three staff, too. But Fott is pretty good. Kelly's pretty good. Like, they're all pretty good everywhere. I think it's kind of the no holes approach where they just, they're like, we don't really have a hole. And then on top of that, we have some stars that that are maybe underappreciated.
Well, and also, I think they know they can do it. You know, they know they can do it. They did it last year. They got in by the skin of their teeth.
I like Torrey Lovello.
And I like Torrey Lovello, too. I think he's a really good manager. And I don't think he panicked when they got down early. And when, obviously, you stick with a Corbin Carroll, you stick with these guys. And Eugenio Suarez is ripping the cover off the baseball, probably because I dropped him in fantasy.
I thought he was losing his job.
We all did.
I thought he was losing his job. But then Blaze Alexander went back down. And, you know, all the contenders for the job just went away, and he's back to slugging again.
And,
so,
and you pick up Josh Bell and sprinkle magic dust on him.
Yeah, Josh
which
Bell.
Is great, too.
That Arizona pixie dust. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. But I think credit to him.
I think you're right about Torrey Lovello. One thing that I think that the number one sort of thing that a manager needs to do is vibes manage. And I think that one of the things that you do as a manager, as a vibes manager, is you don't let things get too hot or too cold, you know? When you're hot enough, maybe you give, you know, one of your stars a rest so that, like, you know, the load management, maybe you kind of just like kind of take the air out of the tires a little bit, because you want to be, when they're down, you want them to, you, okay, Corbin Carroll, now you're going to play 8 games in a row. You know what I mean? So it's like, you kind of manage, even through personnel choices, you're managing the vibes of the team. And he does broadcast like, I'm in charge. Everything's okay.
Yep.
You know, and like, I like you. I love you. He says that a lot. I love you. You know, it's like he's trying to like make them feel like. And then Corbin Carroll told me, you know, he's a good leader, I think, too. He told me that like he would take all the young players out for dinner on the road because they don't have as much money as he does. And he knows that their bonding and their sort of camaraderie is going to be sort of key to the future of the team. So he's someone who thinks about leadership in the same way that the manager does. So it's a good pairing there.
Yeah, Blue Meanie and Archetta, are they playing any good teams? Yeah, they smashed the Phillies, smashed the Guardians. They're taking on all comers right now. Eno, appreciate it as always. We will talk to you again next week. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and I wouldn't bring that up too much as a Padres fan. Some of the recent schedule has been against some easier ones.
We know. They used to have trouble against those teams. So we're actually happy to see them actually beat the under 500 teams. Eno Saris, our weekly baseball smart segment starting, brought to you by 7 Mile Casino.
Looking, just pulled it up right now. The contenders with the easiest and toughest remaining schedules from Will Leach yesterday. There's three with the easy path. That would be the Cubs, the Yankees, and the Braves.
Cubs aren't a contender.
Technically they are. But the three contenders with the difficult path, hold your breath, the Guardians, the Royals, and the Cardinals.
Okay.
I didn't think
the Padres.
No Diamondbacks, Padres.
Yeah, they're more in the middle of, you know, I think the Padres, obviously this stretch is huge, but nothing is bigger right now. The last 6 games.
Massive. Potentially.
LA, but that's a ways off. Yep. In the near future, 2 back-to-back series. They got 4 against the Mets, 4 against the Cardinals. To me, those are 8 games out of these next, I think, 18 that are absolutely pivotal. Because the Mets can get back, and they're the only team really that you're that worried about. They're the first team out of the playoffs. And as long as you even split that series, you kind of cut their legs out in terms of coming back to beat you. But they swept you the first time. So they're going to be confident going in, 4 games at Petco Park. That's, I think, to me, the one that I've got circled, at least in the near-term future. That series against the Mets coming up, I think, what is that, next weekend?
Next weekend, the four.
That's kind of the biggest one. Woo! Yeah, the Cardinals 4 is big, but they've started to slip. They just got swept by the Reds, so we'll see what happens schedule-wise going forward. All right, final hour coming up. Paulie's got some headlines in our Rindle Report, and don't forget, it's a Roundtable Thursday, our Roundtable Pizza Padres Roundtable at 10 o'clock here on 97.3 The Fan.
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.